15 minutes now after 8 o'clock. This is the time on All in a Weekend when we profile a Quebecer with a story to tell. And this morning we're doing something a little bit different. We're profiling an invention, still at the prototype stage, and as far as I know, still unnamed. We'll find out more about that in a moment. Last month, Dr. Vincent Hayward was awarded the Ben and Mary Hockhausen Award from the Canadian National Institute for the Blind for his work in developing an affordable, computer-driven way to read Braille. The award comes with a grant of $10,000 to further his research. Vincent Hayward is the director of McGill University's Center for Intelligent Machines and an associate professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. He joins me in studio. Good morning, Dr. Hayward.
Good morning.
So I know that engineering is all about problem solving, so maybe you could begin by defining the problem for us. What are the limitations of the current technology when it comes to helping blind or visually impaired people to access information?
You and I and many people use computers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the way you think of a computer is mostly a screen.
That you
actually
see.
That's all you see, right?
Right.
But you know, just imagine that you just don't have access to that.
One so sense veiled.
Exactly.
Right.
So what is to be replaced essentially, if you don't see where you can possibly use sound? Auditioner,
mm-hmm.
But you know, it's been two centuries. Touch has been used for communication, in particular written text.
So it's 200 years that that blind people have been using Braille to
absolutely, okay. Yeah, to read. It's been a number of years, computers have been equipped with what you call peripherals, like things you hook up to a computer so they can display information.
So speakers, for example, would be one
of
those.
It's a peripheral,
right.
Yeah. Well, the screen is one.
Right.
So what we're doing is peripherals for touch, if you want.
Now, something like that does exist, I understand, but in a very limited way.
Not so limited, actually. The technology for displaying Braille has been around for 25 years.
Okay.
In such a way that's actually hooked up to a computer. So the term for that is refreshable.
Refreshable.
Yeah, in the sense that, you know, maybe you can describe this, what you're seeing here.
Well, this is what you're showing me is a page of Braille of that, so like computer printed Braille, but traditional Braille and the little series of raised bumps as I move my hand across the page. If, were I blind and trained, I would mm-hmm. be able to read that as print,
right,
as text.
Right. So refreshable Braille essentially is a reproduction of this. But imagine that each of these little dots here
mm-hmm.
is associated to an electric motor. And then what happens is that the computer drives those pins up and down and thereby displays various characters.
So every dot requires its own little motor.
That's the idea, yeah.
So which is what makes it so expensive.
Exactly. So if you need a page of them, then you need a page of motors. So that's part of the problem.
So what will your device do differently than from what we already have?
Well, when you scan that page, in fact, you know, everyone can try that. You know, if you scan a surface at any given moment in time, there is only a small patch of skin that's actually grazing the surface.
So if you're to run your fingertips across a page.
A page or even that table here.
Right.
It's only a little patch that's touching.
Okay.
So what we're doing is actually making a device that's, if you want, displaying to that patch.
Okay.
Only.
All right.
And it moves with your finger.
So, and will there be actual bumps on the page, or will you just feel the sensation
no,
of the bumps?
Well, that's the idea of a display.
Okay.
You have to find ways,
mm-hmm.
to create the right sensation, although it's not a copy of reality, just like that TV here. It's a bunch of pixels,
Right.
And so essentially that's the idea.
What are the biggest challenges in bringing this idea to fruition, if you'd like?
Oh,
what's the What's the challenge?
Oh, the challenge, huh? Well, it has to be practical. Mm-hmm. That really is one of the challenges. Not only has to work, huh, but right. It has also to be practical. And these are not necessarily the same thing. Huh?
Now, when you came in this morning, I said, did you bring your prototype? And you pointed to your back pocket and pulled out a comb. And you said, this is the prototype, which blew me away. Explain to me how a comb is a prototype for the device.
Maybe.
You're handing it to me?
Just copy what I'm doing.
Here. All right.
Okay, just hold it like this. Huh? The top edge, like
right?
No, stationary.
Okay, stationary.
Yeah.
I'm not moving.
Right, and I'm going to do this.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're running that. Now, you can't hear that, listeners, but...
Right, you got the picture. Yeah.
But Dr. Hayward's running his finger down low along the comb, and it's true. My fingers are reading something, even though...
I mean, it's not there, right?
Yeah, okay.
So that's a display.
All right.
Essentially, it's moving your skin in such ways that it gives you the sensation of an object moving under your...
Even though my finger isn't moving.
That's right. So it's really an image. It's really a tactile image.
So I mentioned that I don't know if this device has a name. We've been calling it nothing for the last 10 minutes.
Oh,
do you have a name for it?
Well, there's a name for this device. It's called a Braille cell.
A Braille cell.
Yeah, because every single of these characters here mm-hmm. correspond to, if you want, a little pack of dots.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of manufacturing those computer refreshable cells... So we call it a cell, too, except we'll just have one.
Are you going to come up with a sexier name for this when
Maybe.
It actually goes to market?
Sure. Oh, actually, I should mention in passing that this project is not done alone. There's a lot of people contributing. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And an important component is actually the, if you want, the industrial aspect. And that's actually led by... A company in Longueuil here called Visuaid.
Visuaid, which is already doing a lot of things with auditory equipment and that sort of thing. To
right, yeah. Help. They actually research, produce, and market a range of technological devices for the blind. So that includes, talking books and searchable e-books and so on.
So how far along is this Braille cell on the research and development continuum? How long will it be before it will be?
It's a three-step process, I would say. There's an R&D period where you try to determine the correct parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's mostly research. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so that involves a lot of testing.
That's where you're at now.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And then once you know the best parameters, then you worry about manufacturing, and then later how it can be put practically into a system.
6 months, 1 year?
Yeah, I would say 1 year.
Oh, that's not long. That's not long. Now, when we were first talking about this, you talked about some of the other applications of this kind of technology, such as training surgeons. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Sure. Everyone carries 2 meters square of skin around,
right?
And so that's actually a rather large and complicated organ. It does many things, but one of them is actually to let you experience everything you come in contact with. And then one aspect of that is that it lets you actually manipulate. If you have cold hands or you get thick gloves, it's pretty hard to do anything dexterous. And so doctors have, in many cases, a great need of that sense, just as much as vision or
audition. So if you can accentuate that using computer technology.
So the study of touch and its technological aspects have obvious connection with medical problems.
You know what? I think we could go on and on, but we only have 4 minutes left in this half hour, and I want to bring someone else into the conversation now, Dr. Euclid Heary, who's the President Emeritus of the Canadian National Institute for the Blind. He was in Montreal last month to present Vincent Hayward with this award for his research, and he's now managed to escape the cold weather. We've reached him in Florida. Good morning, Dr. Heary.
Good morning, Lorraine. Dr. Hayward.
Hello.
What is it that you find so exciting about Dr. Hayward's research, sir?
Well, the Hockhausen Award is really a blue sky kind of grant to exactly entice and encourage people like Dr. Hayward. This is a huge brilliance in blue sky stuff. But the problem is, as he says, is that you get one line of refreshable Braille on a computer screen at a time. No one has ever been able to go beyond one line because of the cost. It's about anywhere from $7,000 to $15,000. So with 50 or 80 million people in the world using Braille or wanting to use Braille, you can appreciate that if Dr. Hayward can reduce this by tenfold, which is what hopefully this invention would do, and he mentions VisuAid, wonderful little company, and I'm thrilled to be on their board, but we're not quite getting from here to there is going to take some period of time, and because I use Braille, and Braille has been the only medium for literacy for blind people, there's no question, as I said at McGill, that if Dr. Hayward and his group can bring this to market in a year or two or three, they'll not only become very famous, they might become even very wealthy.
So that's the point, that not that it doesn't exist now, but if this works, it'll just bring the cost down to make it accessible to so many more blind people.
Well, as he says, if you needed a page of little motors, it would cost $200,000. It's not that it couldn't be done. It's also fairly large because, as you see, a page of Braille is considerably bigger than a page of print.
It's about the size of an old record album, what I'm looking at here.
Exactly. And the idea is that one line of that is the length of a line, 80 cells on a computer screen, and it only gives me, when I use my refreshable Braille device, I only get one line at a time, and that's all any blind person can get, and there are portable devices that even give you only half a line at a time. So this has been going on around the world of people trying to find an economical way to do this. Dr. Hayward's group, when they came to the Hockhausen Committee that I chair, we were intrigued. Three of us are blind, Jim Sanders, the president of the CNIB, and Graham Studley, who's in Toronto, a retired blind lawyer who made his entire living using Braille and I'm sure still uses it. So between the three of us and Ben Hockhausen, who himself is a sighted retired engineer, lives in Alberta, and a man who just likes challenges, we said, hey, we don't know if this can work, but we sure like the idea and we're excited by it. And so I find myself thinking about it all the time. So when we were at McGill, I was really pleased that Professor Hayward and his academic group were there. And Professor Hayward, we're going to be following you and encouraging you. And Lorene, thanks CBC for telling this story. It could be another world first from Canada.
Thank you very much, Dr. Harry. And I know Dr. Hayward wants to say a word, but I'm going to have to let you both go now because we're coming up to the 8:30 news. But thanks to both of you, Dr. Euclid Harry in Florida and Dr. Vince Hayward with me here in the studio here in Montreal.